Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, chapter entitled Pariksha Curse by a Brahmana Boy, text number 23. Aham hi prishtor yamano bhavati bir. Aham hi prishtor yamano bhavad bir. Achaksha atma vagamo triyavam. Achaksha atma vagamo triyavam. Na papatanti atma samam patatrina. Na papatanti atma samam patatrina. Tata samam Vishnu gatim vipaschita. Tata samam Vishnu gatim vipaschita. Aham hi prishtor yamano bhavadbir. Achaksha atma vagamo triyavan. Na papatanti atma samam patatrinas. Tata samam Vishnu gatim vipaschita. Aham, my humble self. He certainly Prishta asked by you. Ayamana, as powerful as the sun. Bhavadbi, by you. Achakshe, may describe. Atma avagama, as far as my knowledge is concerned. Atra, herein. Yavam, so far. Napa, sky. Patanti, fly. Atma samam, as far as it can. Patatrina, the birds. Tata, thus. Samam, similarly. Vishnu gatim, knowledge of Vishnu. Vipaschita, even though learned. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. Translation responsibly. O Rishis, who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky, as far as their capacity allows. So do the learned devotees. Describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. Purport. The Supreme Absolute Truth is unlimited. No living being can know about the unlimited by his limited capacity. The Lord is impersonal, personal, and localized. By his impersonal feature, he is all-pervading Brahman. By his localized feature, he is present in everyone's heart as the Supreme Soul. And by his ultimate personal feature, he is the object of transcendental loving service by his fortunate associates, the pure devotees. The pastimes of the Lord in different features can only be estimated partly by great learned devotees. So Srila Suta Goswami has rightly taken this position in describing the pastimes of the Lord as far as he has realized. Factually, only the Lord himself can describe himself, and his learned devotee can also describe him as far as the Lord gives him the power of description. Omagyan timanandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurumilitamena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swabhadantikam vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Rama Hare Hare. So first of all, Suta Goswami, he praises the rishis, or the sages of Naimasharanya, for their purity. He says, you are as pure as the sun. So this is the qualification for bhakti. For bhakti to be effective, we must become purified in our consciousness. That's why in the gradual development of spiritual life, we have the stage called anatta nivritti. Anatta nivritti means to remove unwanted qualities or unwanted tendencies or the effects of the modes of material nature. Because as long as there are impure things within our consciousness, within our heart, we cannot realize Krishna. Krishna can only be in our consciousness as much as the impure things are removed from our consciousness. Like the tendency to sleep in the Bhagavatam class. This must be removed from our consciousness. We must stay awake like that. So, the example is given, just like when you put ink into milk, then the two of them cannot exist simultaneously. Or if you say it the other way, if you pour the milk into the ink, then the two of them, they do not exist simultaneously. There's a chemical reaction which always keeps them separate. Or you can say oil and water. When you pour oil into water, then the two of them, they always remain separate. So when you fill your consciousness up with Krishna, when you pour Krishna into your consciousness, and all there is in your heart is Krishna, then the material desires and your material tendencies, they cannot stay. They become removed. So that is the practice of sadhana, vaiti sadhana bhakti, is to gradually remove the impure things from our consciousness so that Krishna can stay within our heart. Otherwise, the tendency of the conditioned soul is to become attached to material things. So actually that is the nature of the soul. The nature of the soul is to be attached. We cannot be unattached or without desire. Krishna has explained this already in the beginning of the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the beginning of the third chapter, the soul is active by nature. Now you must act. You must be continuously doing something. That is the nature of the soul. The soul is not passive by nature. To be passive is artificial. The soul is always active, is always doing something. So the process of Vaiti Sadhana Bhakti is to learn to do things for Krishna, to begin to act for Krishna, and to remove those things in our lives which are, you could say, like anti-Krishna, or which do not lead us to Krishna, and include as much as possible things in our life which lead us to Krishna. Prabhupada says we should design our lives in such a way that 24 hours a day we cannot help but think of Krishna. So you have to design your life in such a way that you can't help but think of Krishna. Everything should remind you of Krishna in your life, in your daily program, 24 hours a day. What am I doing now? Is it helping me to remind me of Krishna? Just like now, we're in the temple, the sacred temple of Radha Vallabha. Prabhupada said this is Vrindavan. All the dust here on the floor is none different from Vrindavan Dham. The dust in Vrindavan can fulfill all of your desires. Therefore, it says when you go to Vrindavan, you should roll in the dust. That's how you become purified in Braj. When you go to Mayapur, how do you become purified? By Sankirtan. Sankirtan means absorbing yourself in congregational chanting the holy name. This is the methodology of purification in Mayapur. When you go to Jagannath Puri, what is the way to become purified? By taking Jagannath's prasad, as much as you can. Take it up to your neck. I went to Jagannath Puri for the first time in 1994 with Mother Jagatarini and Umapati Swami and Bhakti Marg Swami and many, many, many devotees. Jamuna Mataji was there, Govinda Mataji was there, many of Prabhupada's oldest disciples, they were there. So we did a parikram. Radhacharan was organizing it. So we did parikram for around about 4 or 5 days throughout Jagannath Puri. And each night we would go to a life member's house. There was a life member's house just down on the beach. And we would go there and they would give us prasadam. We'd already eaten twice that day. We'd already had breakfast and then had big feast for lunch at one of the Gaudiya Mutts, and then we'd go in the evening and they'd give us more prasad. So we were brahmacharis at the time, so we were very sense controlled and very strong and very staunch like that. So we went there and then they were giving us prasad, and they cooked so much prasad, and there was maha prasad from Jagannath, and they were serving us so much, and we were no, you know, we are brahmacharis, it is 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, we are staunch, we will not eat too much. So we were like refusing the prasad. So I woke up the next morning and I had indigestion. I had not digested properly, like that. So then the next night we went back again. We did Harinam down the beach and we arrived at the life member's house. And when we got to the life member's house, they had these. This is even before we got in the house. And already we were feeling just like, you know, there's so much prasad. I hadn't even digested last night's prasad, and then we'd have breakfast and then another big feast at lunchtime at one of the Gaudiya Mutts, and then we finally got there. So then we just surrendered. We thought, well, what does it matter anyway? You know, we can't control ourselves, we can't be staunch, we can't be fixed, so let's just eat whatever they give us. So even before we got into the life member's house, they had big pots of sweet rice, made of earthen pots this big. And they were offered to Lord Nisringadev. Has anyone been to the Nisringadev in temple in Jagannath Puri, down near the Gundicha, you know, near Gundicha temple, like that, near the Gundicha Mandir. There's a temple of Nisringadev. That Nisringadev deity is from Satya Yuga, very old deity of Nisringadev. And Lord Chaitanya himself cleansed that temple and danced in front of that deity. It's a very powerful deity of Nisringadev. So they'd offered the pots of sweet rice were offered to Nisringadev. Big pots like this, like big earthen pots full of sweet rice. And the milk, the life member, if you went behind his house, he had a goshala. And he had the most beautiful Sarabi cows, like the most beautiful cows you've ever seen, just so soft and beautiful, and so well cared for and so well kept. You know, extremely, these cows were just heavenly. So all the milk from that cows, he would give that to the Nisringadev temple and to the Jagannath temple to use for the offerings for the deities. So this milk had been cooked into beautiful sweet rice, which was like nectar, and offered to Nisringadev. And then, so we got there, and they did Harinam down to the, and I was the last one, I was chanting my japa, so I didn't do Harinam, I just kind of came behind the devotee, so I got there about 5 minutes late. So the life member, he wouldn't let anyone into the house until they'd taken prasadam. Yeah, you weren't even allowed to get into his house until you had a cup of this sweet rice. So I came up last, and everyone else had nearly finished, and they as they saw me coming, I was the last one, they said, make him finish the rest. So then I couldn't even get in the house until I had 5 cups of sweet rice. So I thought to myself, anyway, whatever, you know, all our brahmachari principles are destroyed. So I just surrendered, you know, I had like 5 cups of sweet rice, you know, and it was like nectar. It was like nectar, and I was just thinking, I'm so fortunate to have this sweet. So then we went inside, we had a program, and then after the program, then they served us the feast, and by that time we thought, well, no use resisting. So we just ate as much as we could, like that, 9 o'clock at night, like that. And next morning when I woke up, everything was digested. I woke up and I felt perfectly natural, perfectly normal. Woke up, my head was clear, because I had not offended Jagannath Prasad. I had not offended. The night before, I would say, no prasad, not too much, a little bit. But the mood in Puri is that you become purified by taking the prasad. That is the methodology of purification, because the prasad is extremely powerful. So when you take the prasadam, you should take as much as you can. Because Lord Chaitanya, personally, when he was living in Puri, he would serve all the devotees with his own hand. How tall was Lord Chaitanya? 7 feet tall. Have you been to Mayapur? Have you seen the Panchatattva? That's the actual size of Lord Chaitanya. He was that tall, 7 feet tall. Sorry, that means his hand was 12 inches. So Lord Chaitanya, with his own hand, he would put prasadam on everyone's plate. And he would give each person as much as 7 people could eat. And he would make all the devotees eat up to the neck. And when he was serving all the devotees, no one would take prasad until Lord Chaitanya sat down. So he was serving everyone, but they were just sitting there because they wouldn't eat before the Lord ate. So Sarup Damodar, Lord Chaitanya's secretary, he said, my Lord, you have to sit down, otherwise the devotees will not take. So Lord Chaitanya would sit down, and then he would say, hurry, hurry. And then everyone would begin to take. They'd say, hurry, hurry, and everyone would begin to eat. And the whole time when they were taking prasad, everyone was saying, hurry, hurry. And Lord Chaitanya was encouraging them, take more, give him more, take more, up to the neck, like that. So when you go to Jagannath Puri, you should purify yourself by taking the prasad up to the neck. That is how you become purified in Puri. That is how you become purified in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Whether you like it or not. Too much prasad. Sooner or later you have to control yourself. 8 years when I was living in the Brahmachari Ashram, I had not no control but I just ate pretty much whatever I wanted whenever I wanted, like that. But then suddenly I realized I had a material body and I had to control myself. So you have to control yourself, but still Prabhupada said once a week you can fully satisfy your senses. The rest of the time you have to practice some sense control. So in Jagannath Puri you become purified by the prasad. In Mayapur by Sankirtan, and in Vrindavan by the dust. Braj Raj means the dust. Because the dust in Vrindavan, every particle of dust has been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram and Srimati Radharani and all of their associates. So just by rolling in the dust, you will become extremely purified. That's why it is said when you go to Vrindavan, when you get out of the taxi, you should just lie in the dust and you should roll in the dust and purify yourself. Because all of that dust has been touched by the lotus feet of the Lord. It will purify your consciousness. In 1994, I went on Braj Mandal Parikram. So for 30 days, we walked around Vrindavan, the 12 forests of Vrindavan, circumambulated the whole of Braj. So it was about 300 or 400 kilometres we walked in that month. barefoot, no? All the devotees, about 100 devotees. I think now they get about 1,000 devotees, but back then there was about 100 devotees. So we walked. So when I got back to Melbourne, after 1 month of walking around Brudge, and then for the next month, every time I clean my ears or something, dust kept coming out. It was like the dust just gets into every single part of your you know, body. You get purified by the dust, because the dust is non-different from Krishna. It has been touched by the Lord. It is pure. So that Brudge means that if you offer your obeisances, and that's why it says in Vrindavan, you get purified by the dust. What does that mean? Rupa Goswami says the way to enter the holy Dham is through prayer. So how do you pray? You pray when you're lying in the dust. When you're offering your obeisances, that's when you are praying. So when you offer your obeisances when you go to Vrindavan and you pray in front of the samadhis and in at the lila stans, at the pastime places of the Lord, that is how you become purified. So the dust is answering your prayers. It is chintamani. Chintamani means? Chintamani. Money means stone. Money means jewels. Chinta means conscious. Prabhupada says thought conscious. All of the dust there is pure. It can purify your consciousness. So here in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, Prabhupada said this is Vrindavan. So that means even the dust here on this floor, it can purify our consciousness. The dust here, when we offer our obeisances in the temple, it can purify our consciousness. It can remove the anattas from within our heart. And that is the whole point of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, is to remove the impure things within our heart so that Krishna can enter into our consciousness. That is the whole point of bhakti. We have to put more Krishna in and less Maya. Right? Maya has to gradually be going out, and then Krishna has to be gradually be coming in more and more and more. Until you fill up your vessel so it is completely full. So you pour the milk in, it is overflowing with milk. There's no room for anything impure. That is the definition of prema bhakti. How does Rupa Goswami explain the fifth principle of bhakti, which is prema, one of the two principles of prema bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion? Sandrananda Visheshatma. What does that mean? Huh? Sandrananda? Yeah, incalculable, condensed bliss. Sandra Ananda, Onanda means just so condensed. There's so much Krishna in your consciousness, nothing else can permeate. Right? It is so thick. Yeah? It is so condensed and pure that there's nothing else in your consciousness, only Krishna. Right? So that is the goal of our life. Our goal is to make Krishna the only object of our existence. There's nothing else in our thoughts except Krishna. How much of the day do you think of Krishna? How much? What is the percentage? How much do you think of your material desires? How much do you think of your material problems? And how much do you think of Krishna? What is the ratio? What is the percentage? I want everyone to call out. No, we won't do that because it is embarrassing. Really? You only think that much of Krishna? Like that. But we should be thinking of Krishna as Lord Chaitanya has taught us, as Rupa Goswami has taught us, as the Vedas have taught us. We should always think of Krishna. That is the goal. Krishna himself says at the end of the Gita, Manmana Baba Mad Bhaktu, always think of me. Right? Now, what is the result if we always think of Krishna? We'll be happy. Hands up if you want to be happy. Wow. 100%. So, it says in the Shastra, it says, Ananda Mayo Vyasat. Ananda Mayo Vyasat means that every living entity is searching after ananda, or bliss. All of us want to be happy, constantly, permanently. So how do we become permanently happy? How do we become constantly happy? You have to be thinking of Krishna all of the time. If you're not thinking of Krishna all of the time, you cannot be happy all of the time. You cannot be always in bliss. But when one is always thinking of Krishna, then one is naturally always blissful. Now, what is the methodology? Or what is the process? The Abhideya. Abhideya means the process of how to always think of Krishna. What is given to us in the Kali Yuga? If you look in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami lists that there are 64 potent ways to remember Krishna. At the end, when he gets to the last five, he recounts, he picks out five of the 59 which were there previously, and he says, these five are the most important. Right. Nam Sankirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Shravan, Srimurtir, Shradaya Sevan, and Mathura Vas. These five are the most important. Now, Jiva Goswami, when he comments on those five, he says, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also describes, that those five, they come to life by one. One of those angas brings the other four to life. And that is Nam Sankirtan. It is chanting the holy name of Krishna. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, we bring Krishna into our consciousness continuously. These are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kirtaniyaha sada hari. Sada means always. You have to continuously chant. If you want to remember Krishna always, you have to continuously chant his holy name. That is the methodology. Always chant, always chant. That was Mahaprabhu's example. Just like if you look in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, one time Lord Chaitanya was going to the latrine to pass water. So, not that he had to do that, he had a spiritual body, so it was not necessary, but he was performing that pastime of doing ablutions. So he was going, and while he was going, he was holding his tongue. So there was one boy, he was only 5 years old, his name was Gopal. So Gopal said, Mahaprabhu, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to the latrine. And he said, why are you holding the tongue? And he said, because when I go there, it is an impure place. So I should not chant the holy name in an impure place. Because the holy name is pavitra. It is pure. But I cannot stop myself from chanting. So when I go to the toilet, I have to hold my tongue. And Gopal was 5 years old. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, but at the time of death, you will be completely impure. Now, you will pass stool and you will pass urine involuntarily. You can't control yourself at the time of death. You lose control of all your faculties. You're completely contaminated, completely impure. So are you telling us that we should not chant at the time of death because we'll be impure? Are you telling us that we should not chant in impure states? So Lord Chaitanya, he considered himself to be defeated by Gopal, by the young boy. So he said, you are my guru. So he said, from this day on, you'll be known as Gopal Guru. So his name, he became famous as an Acharya, Gopal Guru Goswami. He was a great disciple of Vakrashwara Pandit Goswami. And if you go to Jagannath Puri, if you go to the Gambira, Lord Chaitanya's room, and you go to, which is the house of Kashi Mishra, if you go to the Radha Kanta temple, which is inside that complex, then they have a murti of Gopal Guru. He's like a little murti, he's about that big, made of neem. He's been there for hundreds of years. And whenever they do the offering to Vakrashwara Pandit's deities of Radha Kanta, they bring Gopal Guru into the deity room, and they take it that they are offering on his behalf, or he is offering the bhoga to the deities. So he became a very prominent acharya within our disciplic succession. So Lord Chaitanya, or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Jiva Goswami, they have told us that of the five most potent items of bhakti, which purify our consciousness, chanting the holy name brings the others to life. In other words, hearing the Bhagavatam comes to life by chanting the holy name. So if you look at Prabhupada's system, when Prabhupada developed the morning program,
or the Sadhana program for ISKCON, then what was the program? It was based upon the 64 items of bhakti which were given by Rupa Goswami. And if you analyze our morning sadhana, our morning program from 4:30 in the morning till 8:30 in the morning, it includes almost all of those 64 items of bhakti. They're all included. Nearly all, not quite every single one, but nearly all of them are included. So Prabhupada has designed it that first we'll chant the holy name, we'll chant our japa, we'll do sankirtan, we'll chant together, and then we'll hear the Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam will come to life, the Bhagavatam will reveal its rahasya, or its secrets, its sara, or its essence, to us when we are purified in consciousness by chanting the holy name. Otherwise, I know sometimes I've read the Bhagavatam, I've picked up Bhagavatam and started reading, and there's nothing coming out of the Bhagavatam. I feel like it's dry, like I'm in a desert. And that is because my chanting is not being good enough. Krishna says, Ye yata mam prabhajanti tams tataiva bhajam yaham. As you surrender, I reward you. So when we read Prabhupada's books, we only get the revelation according to how much we've surrendered while chanting, how much we've purified our consciousness by chanting. And then sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means, by associating with devotees, what is the main way that we associate with the devotees? It's through sankirtan. It's through congregational chanting of the holy name. That is our main way to associate with the devotees. If you look in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, that was basically the principle of association, was sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya, when he was living in Puri, he would get up in the morning and he would go to the Jagannath Mandir at Mangalati time. And he would stay in front of Jagannath from Mangalati to Rajbog. Right? Just standing behind the Garuda Stamba, just looking at Jagannath. Right? And tears would be coming from his eyes. And then he would go at lunchtime, he'd go and take prasad at someone's house, one of the Vaishnavas in Jagannath Puri. And then after he would take prasad, then he would go to, first he would go to the beach. He would go and take bath. Then he would go and visit Haridas Thakur, make sure he had prasad. He would go and visit Rupa and Sanatan Goswami if they were with Haridas Thakur. And then he would go and take his own prasad, rest a little in the afternoon, sometimes associate with Advaita Acharya. And then he would go to the temple in the evening for Sanja Aarti. And they would do kirtan for 3 hours every night, Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates. So that was his main way of associating with the Vaishnavas. So that is actually the main way to associate with the devotees, is to do sankirtan together. And you see, if we do sankirtan together, ISKCON becomes an unstoppable force. When the devotees are chanting together, congregationally, right, it binds, right? It connects all the devotees, and it brings everyone onto the spiritual platform. And then our movement becomes unlimitedly powerful by chanting. And then it can spread unlimitedly. And you'll see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, when they're cleaning the Gundicha Mandir, then he would get the devotees to get pots of water and carry them from Indrajumna Sarovara, which is behind the Gundicha temple. And then they would carry them back to the Gundicha temple, and everyone would throw water on the roof and on the walls and everywhere and clean the temple. And the whole time that everyone was carrying the water back and forth, the only thing that all the devotees were saying was Krishna. So if you wanted a pot of water, you had to say Krishna. And a devotee would give it to you, you'd say Krishna. If you wanted the broom, someone would give you the broom, they'd say Krishna, and you'd say Krishna. And everyone was just saying Krishna, 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 Krishna. How can you not be happy? Try it. Right. Devotees say sometimes I feel depressed, or I feel unhappy, or this or that, or I've got so many problems in my life. Then just start saying Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. So you all start smiling. As soon as we start saying it, everyone starts smiling. It's not possible. All impure things, all inauspicious things, durdaivam means inauspicious things. All the inauspicious things, they become destroyed by the chanting of the holy name. So the main way to associate with devotees is to chant the holy name. And then, Nam Sankirtan, Sadhu Sangha, Bhagavat Shravan, Maturabhas. Maturabhas means residing in a holy place. How does the holy place come to life? It comes by chanting the holy name. Just like my favorite day of the year, every year my favorite day is to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. If I go to Vrindavan, and I circumambulate Govardhan Hill as many times as I can while I'm there. So that's my favorite day of the year. So sometimes I'm circumambulating Giriraj, and as I'm going around, sometimes on my parikram, I'm not feeling blissful. I'm going, starting the parikram first hour, so I'm not feeling. And then Giriraj, because he is non-different from Krishna, then within the heart, he indicates it's because you're not chanting properly. So then when I begin to chant more seriously, and suddenly so much reciprocation comes from the holy dharma. So the holy dharma is revealed through our chanting. Prabhupada said this temple is Vrindavan. So how do we realize it's Vrindavan? Through our chanting. Right? If we're chanting properly, we will feel we are in Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. You will feel the Vrindavan atmosphere. Right? You'll feel when you're in front of Gaur-Nitai, this is Mayapur. You'll feel when you're in front of Radha Vallabha, this is Vrindavan. And when you're in front of Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, you will feel you're in Dwarka. Or Jagannath Puri. Or Kurukshetra. Right? You will remember all these different pastimes. So the holy name brings everything to life in bhakti. And then the final principle is Sri Muratiya Shradaya Savan. Your chanting also brings deity worship to life. Otherwise, deity worship, you can be worshipping the deity, but you cannot be feeling that Krishna is present, that he is non-different from the deity. But if you have chanted properly the holy name of Krishna, then when you are with the deity, then you feel that Krishna is personally present. It is non-different. This is Srimati Radharani. This is Krishna. Everything will be revealed. So the chanting of the holy name is so powerful. Even one time Prabhupada was asked by his disciples, by his followers, how will we understand our swarup? How will we understand our eternal relationship with Krishna? And Prabhupada said, the guru will reveal it within your heart when you are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. That's our process. Our process is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, when you're deeply, deeply, deeply chanting, the guru will manifest your swarup. This is the process. This is why we are chanting. This is our prayojana. Prayojana means our goal. This is what we're heading towards. So as long as there are impure things in our consciousness, impure things in our heart, we cannot realize Krishna. We cannot reach Krishna. So in the beginning of this verse, then Suta Goswami, he says to the sages of Namasharanya, O sages, O rishis, who are as pure as the sun. They're pure. Because why? Because they follow the process. And they purify their consciousness. There are not impure things within their consciousness. And actually the Bhagavatam says in the very beginning, in the Mangalacharan, if you read the first three verses of the Bhagavatam, then the Bhagavatam itself says that this book, this scripture, can only be understood by one who is near Matsara. What does near Matsara mean? Near means without or none. And Matsara means envy. Why are we in the material world? Right? Because we're envious of Krishna. Prabhupada points out, if we are envious of anyone in this world, that means we are still envious of Krishna. Matsara, or envy, is what binds us to this world. I am envious. I don't like this person. I don't like that person. That's envy. That's not spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness, when you chant the holy name properly, you get onto the spiritual platform, where you see all living entities are Krishna's servants. And you relate to them as such. And in that consciousness, then you realize Krishna. Then prema is realized. That's why we can hear the Bhagavatam every day, but we may not understand the essence of the Bhagavatam. The Sara, the Veda Sara, or the essence of the Bhagavatam, is not understood. Why? Because we still have Matsara, or envy within our consciousness. So by hearing the Bhagavatam, we are meant to come off the bodily platform of life, and then we can actually understand our eternal position, our eternal relationship with Krishna, free from anathas. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Which dictionary is that?
It's the dictionary online. I think it's the wrong definition.
No, the definition, I'm just wondering which dictionary it is. Oxford.
Oxford,
yeah. Wow, yeah. Yeah, it's a good definition. Yeah, if you look in the dictionary, it often has very good definitions. Well, it's supposed to have very good definitions of the words. So it describes things very nicely. You mean when we're preaching? Yeah, when we preach, we shouldn't go beyond our level of realization. Just like if you speak about Krishna and the gopis, you have to have realization about Krishna and the gopis, because that's exalted subject matter. So if you don't have realization, if you don't have understanding of it, in other words, if your heart is not sufficiently purified of lust, then the Bhagavatam says, do not speak about these things. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you go into the deeper parts of the philosophy, which we're meant to go into when we're qualified, if we go into them prematurely, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it produces viras. In other words, the opposite thing comes. Instead of decreasing your material desires, it increases your material desires. So we have to be careful about going into the higher levels of bhakti prematurely. Like that. Just like when Prabhupada was staying at one life member's house one time in India, they had Mangalati, and then after Mangalati, the life members came in to see Prabhupada, and they said, Swamiji, the husband and wife, they're elderly, like a little bit older, and they came in and they said, Swamiji, we want to hear Rasa Lila. Like that. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to speak Rasa Lila. And they insisted, you know, sometimes Indian people are a little insistent. So they said, Swamiji, we want to hear Rasa Lila, please. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to speak Rasa Lila. And then they kept insisting. Prabhupada said, you may be qualified to hear it, but I'm not qualified to speak it. Which was actually the opposite way, because Prabhupada understood he was qualified to speak it, but they were not qualified to hear it. So when we preach, and when we give class, and when we're preaching to devotees, we have to understand the level of realization of who you're speaking to. So you don't go beyond that. Even you might have those realizations, but you don't go beyond it. Because it's not going to help those devotees by hearing about things which are beyond their capacity. And also, if you don't have the realization, then you don't go beyond it yourself, because then you just get into water which is too deep, and it will produce viras. It produces the opposite effect. Is that okay?
When you're talking about chanting, just chanting and chanting, but doesn't the chanting and hearing go hand in hand and they perpetuate? So if you're chanting to increase or make your chanting better, you read more, and that makes your rounds better. So then it's kind of like a perpetual thing. So So that then it moves into remembering. So it's not like, because you have the nine processes of devotional service, then it moves into remembering. So then you're remembering Krishna and the service and doing all of those things as well. Is that a correct understanding?
Yeah, that's the whole process. Because the whole process is Vishnu Smaranam. It's to remember Krishna constantly. But Jiva Goswami says in Kali Yuga, he says, because previously some of the lineages that were based on Smaranam or remembering Krishna. But he says in Kali Yuga, if you just concentrate on Smaranam because we're contaminated, that will it will not lead to the result. It will produce viras or the opposite result. So therefore he says that you will get Smaranam, but you have to do it through Kirtan.
And hearing as well, because you've got to understand what the knowledge about why you're doing the kirtan, why you're chanting, what how you have to chant. So you have to have that knowledge to be able to chant correctly as well.
So
the two, hearing and the kirtan, is the perpetual that supports the rest of the service.
Sachinandan Swami, he always says, when we do our japa retreats with him, he says you have to develop sambandha. Sambandha means a relationship with Krishna. Because the whole goal of chanting, Prabhupada says, when you chant, just hear. But he also says, there are other comments by Prabhupada. He says that when you're chanting, Krishna's pastimes are meant to be coming into your consciousness. And that's what Maharaj emphasizes. We're meant to develop sambandha. In other words, a relationship with Krishna. We should know all about him. You know, he should be the person in our life who we know the most about. Just like, describe Krishna's hair. What is Krishna's hair like? Blackish. Yeah, right. Okay. So it says in the Nectar of Devotion, when he is Komara, when he's born till he's five, it sits on his shoulders. Right? When he's Pauganda, means from 5 to 10, it goes down a little bit. But when he's Kaishora, when he's 10 to 15, it goes down to the bottom of his back. He has long hair, beautiful hair. And it says it's like the feathers of the raven. Now, if you look at a raven's feathers, it's like that, like sits on top of each other. Not curly, sometimes you hear curly. Right around his hair is not curly. Krishna says it's more like wavy, like that. And it's kind of like sits like, you know, layers like that. And it says that it has a reddish tinge. His hair has like a reddish tinge. It. And her hair has a bluish tinge because she's always thinking of
Krishna.
And he's always thinking of Radha. So therefore he has a reddish tinge, he has a bluish tinge. There's so many things. We should know Krishna back to front. No? Like his eyes, what colour are his eyes? What colour are his eyes? Huh? Dark brown. Very dark, like deep, deep, deep dark brown. What colour are her eyes? Black, yeah, black. They're all black. No, dark blue. Dark blue, like very... Like you see sometimes the Indian people, they have like blue eyes or green eyes. Just beautiful. Yeah. See some of the women, you know, from Gujarat, yeah, they do Parikram and Vrindavan, you know, and they just have the most beautiful eyes because they're already dark and beautiful. And they have like green or blue eyes. Because, you know, 90% of the Indian population has brown eyes. Then suddenly someone has black eyes. So right around his eyes are deep blue. Like that. And Krishna's eyes are always looking. And right around his eyes, they're always looking in four directions. I can't remember the breakdown perfectly. But Radharani, a quarter of her eyes are looking for Krishna. One quarter are looking for her elders. You know, where's Jatila? Where are they? You know, one fourth looking for Krishna, one fourth is looking for her friends. Where are my friends? And I can't remember the other fourth like that. But it describes in Nectar of Devotion. It says right around his eyes are like a wagtail. You know, like those little birds. You know, always like darting like that. So right around his eyes are like that. She's always looking. What's going on? She's always looking. What's going on? What's going on? So we have to know these things. Sachinandan Swami says this is sambandha. Then sambandha means you have a relationship with Krishna. And then when you chant, and Krishna begins to flood the consciousness. Nama, rupa, Guna Lila. Right? When you're chanting, it actually describes in Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, it says that when you're chanting, if you're chanting with sufficient faith, Krishna's form appears in your consciousness, rupa, right? And then when you're chanting with more faith, then his qualities, his guna, they begin to manifest in your consciousness. And then when chanting with more and more faith, great faith, then his pastimes, they manifest in your consciousness. So that is the actual process. As you see, Haridas Thakur, he's the Namacharya, he was chanting 300,000 names every day. So what do you think he was doing? How can you chant 300,000 names every day? How can you do it? Unless you're absorbed in Ashtakali Alila. He was just seeing the pastimes as moving. Swarasiki means like a constant river flowing. Yeah, when we chant our rounds, it's like, you know. So where are you going to get to? You know, Krishna's form is not going to appear in the consciousness. So in order to make advancement in chanting, you have to chant very deeply, very sincerely. It also helps if you stay awake. Very beneficial. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Prabhupada said 70%. He said if we can just get to 70% pure, then he'll take care of the rest. Prabhupada said that. Like that. One time, he was on the balcony in Juhu, and his room is on the balcony, and he was with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I've listened to his lectures, many of his lectures, and he tells this story more than any other story, because he spent a lot of time with Prabhupada. But he was with Prabhupada, he was on the balcony at Juhu, and he was a sannyasi. And he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, it's so difficult. He said, every day we have to go down to the lawyer's office. You know, we go down there 8 in the morning and come out to 8 at night. He said, I know every single bylaw in the municipality of Mumbai. He said, I know more bylaws of Mumbai than I know Bhagavad Gita shlokas. Right? He said, I go in there and say, it's just going on. And he was just going on and on and say, it's so difficult. You know, and Prabhupada just cut him short. And Prabhupada said, for so many lifetimes, you have served so many masters. For this one lifetime, you just surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever you're lacking at the end of your life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will cover that and he'll take you back to Godhead. So that's our meditation. We won't become Paramahamsas in this lifetime, most of us. You know, probably most of us won't. But if we give one lifetime as much as we can to Krishna, right, sincerely, and if we get to that 70% mark, then Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, they'll say, okay, no problem. Because both things are correct, that's all. It's just like if you look at the crystals, like if I look at it from this side, I can see green, and if you're looking at it from that side, you see red. So both are correct. So in spiritual life, it doesn't mean one thing has to be at the expense of the other thing. Both things can be there simultaneously. So I've just explained it in relation to the holy name. But if we explain that particular subject from many angles of vision, there's many, many, many things you can say about that point. So it doesn't mean that one eradicates the other. It just means they're just different angles of vision. So some classes we say one thing, other classes we say another thing. That's all. So. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.